You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, tonight we have looked at these words: kindness, forgiveness, compassion, correction, contentment, love, faith. We've looked at the word, the second coming, two words: trust, to wait, and to have patience and have courage. Tonight's number 12 in our study, and we're going to look at this word, our heart. Look what the Bible says. Let's read it together. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, 37, 38, 39, and 40. Are you ready? Verse 36. Ready? Begin. Master.
Which is the great
Take our songbooks tonight and go to 411 a cappella. Let's sing it. Tonight, our word is the word heart. Heart, I've got every heart in the last many Bibles I've used, got every heart circled 2-3 times in my Bible. Every time you find the word heart, you're going to find the word heart nearly 1,000 times in the Bible. The heart is the issue of everything. The heart, this is not your heart. You don't give your, say, I'm going to give my heart to my wife Valentine's Day. You don't give her this organ. Yeah, I've said it before, the heart is located in the brain. Our brains are two and a half pounds, maybe three. It looks like a walnut shape on the outside. It's divided in three sections, and one section of your brain is your heart. That's the real you. That's the person that you know, but your wife or your husband doesn't know. That's the real you. That's the seat of emotions, feelings. It's all about your heart. Look at page number 411. How about, sing it with your heart. Is it right with? Good. That's the thing that comes today. Sing it out. Is it black by sin?
Is it your
wicked?
Could
you ask him to stay? See you Jesus really knows you.
Jesus really knows you. For he sees
inside. That's the thing that comes today. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy is the Old Testament book that has more to deal with the heart than any other book. And the word heart is found 47 times in this book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is 34 chapters. And it only took a couple days to write. Moses writes the book of Deuteronomy, and it's his farewell address. He talks about he's going to die, and he does die in chapter 34. And he's going to go to heaven to be with the Savior and the Heavenly Father. And he writes this as a closing challenge to the people of God. You know, I feel like as I preach to you these days, everything I'm preaching. I always pray. I prayed in my office tonight. Lord, if this is, I prayed my whole ministry, so it's not because of my age now, but Lord, if this is my last message to preach, let me give my best to you tonight. I want God, you've worked too hard today. Most of you have not been home. We start early, 6:30 to get you home early. But most of you have not had dinner, I know that. And you rush to church and you get your kids in the program and you get in here and you sit down. It's probably the first time you sat down all day just to relax. And I've got to keep you awake here tonight. I want to look at this word heart. The heart is deceitful. Above all things, Jeremiah 17:9 says, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I don't know. I think this is theologically a true statement. I don't know my own heart sometimes. Now I know I have the Holy Spirit of God that convicts me of sin and all that, but I wonder about my heart sometimes. I want my heart in everything. I went to elementary chapel today and I saw you teachers there, all you K-4, 5, 6, all the way through. And I see you there and I don't know if it was good, but I put my heart into that this morning. I put my heart into high school chapel, college chapel. I just want the very best. I want you to jot some notes down tonight. Chapter 1, verse number 28. We're going to use the book of Deuteronomy just a few moments tonight. And verse number 28. I wonder if you could read it. I find a discouraged heart, number 1. Look what the Bible says. Verse 28. Let's read it together. Chapter 1, verse 28. Ready, begin. Whither shall I go up? You know, it is possible to have a discouraged heart. And Moses is writing, he says, remember when I sent those spies out? 10 came back, said, oh, we can't win the battle here. No, they're giants, they're eating people. They weren't eating people. But that's what their mind told them. And they said, and Caleb and Joshua said, hey, we be able. We can take them. Let's go. Let's get all ready. Let's go. And they voted him down. And Moses reminded them that you are that way because your heart was discouraged. Make some decisions for the future when your heart is not discouraged. I've said all the time, my whole ministry here, you make a decision before you have to make a decision. You always think it through. You never think it through when you're negative and discouraged and defeated. But you make a decision so that when you get defeated, you say, I'm going to quit church. I tell you, that's it. The fundamentalism, the Bible, the King James standards, all. I'm going to quit. I don't like it. I'm quitting. You're quitting at the wrong time. Quit during pastor's conference. When 400 men are up here with the choir and we're singing in the 400 men choir, quit when Brother Gravely gets done preaching, or Brother Gamble's getting, Brother Tony, quit after that. Quit when there's revival in there. Quit after missions conference. Quit after camp. But don't quit when you're discouraged. You never make a decision, a life-changing decision when you're discouraged. Look what the Bible says. So we have a discouraged heart. Chapter 8, please. Chapter 8, look at verse number 14, a prideful heart. Chapter 8 and verse number 14. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Then thine heart shall be lifted up. So one heart we don't want is what kind of heart? Number 1, a discouraged heart. 2 is a prideful heart. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 abomination. A proud what? Look. God hates pride. Satan sinned in Isaiah 14 that he said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne. I'll be worshipped. He had 5 eyes there, all about himself. I just know that our church is a godly church.
Amen.
I don't see a lot of pride here. I imagine we all have it. I have pride. You have pride. But I don't see a lot of pride in our church. I said three times, I love going to high school chapel. I love being with these kids. And I'm certain they have prideful situations in life at times. But I don't see pride in them. I see a humble spirit. Brother Martinez, when you stand up to sing, they sang. I was watching a visitor, I forget who I was watching this morning, came in, and they were singing in chapel today. I don't see pride. I mean, we've taken first place in soccer this year. We've taken first place in basketball this year. Brother Swanson, we need first place in baseball this year. Now, you won't have a proud heart if we have first place, will you? Yeah, you will probably. It's okay to be excited about things and happy about things. We don't go into a game unless we're playing this Jewish school. I never know how to pray when we play a Jewish school. Lord, help us to beat them, whip them. Well, I can't ask that because, but we beat everybody this year. But the pressure's on, brother. The girls won first place in all of it. But God hates pride. You know, Hispanics, I look at our Hispanics. They have such a humble heart. Brother Andy Gone, I see you shaking your head, and you're not even a Hispanic, but they do. They have a humble heart. They work with you, your company. But every one of our sweet Hispanics here have to fight what I fight too, pride. I don't want to be a prideful pastor. I don't want to be a prideful person. And Brother Van Dyke, I really don't have a lot to be proud of. But I could be proud. Brother Thiago sang it tonight, to rescue a sinner like me. That God would reach down and then God would call me to the ministry. I have nothing to be prideful. A discouraged heart, a prideful heart. Go to chapter 10, please. Chapter 10, you're doing very well. Verse number 12, let's read it. So one, we don't want any, what kind of heart? Discouraged heart. Secondly, look at chapter 10, verse 13, but you want one of these hearts. Verse 12, 10, 12, let's read it together. Ready? And now, Israel, you know, can I say, whatever God has given you to do, put your heart in this thing.
Amen.
Put everything into it.
Amen.
I watched Brother Jericho. He runs a business. He's a graduate of our school, our high school, our college, and all of it. And he runs a business, he and his wife. But he comes and he volunteers and he teaches. He's teaching your kids education and graphic design and video camera, all that, he's teaching that. I look at Brother Jackson every Wednesday. I come over, and he's a businessman, and he's a graduate of our high school, our college, but a wonderful businessman, but he knows music, and he's got those kids singing. They made a beautiful CD years ago, and I just think of all that these people are doing for the work of God. You know, if you're a school teacher, put your heart in it. If you're in the choir, amen, put your heart in the choir. If you're in the orchestra, put your heart in it. If you're a bus captain, a Sunday school teacher, if you're a parking lot attendant, put your heart in everything. If you're in the IT department, or if you're in the live stream department, or you're in the radio ministry, or you're a cameraman, or whatever you do around here, if you're in the nursery, put your heart in serving God.
Amen.
That's why I work great. This is a great church. I watch you people serve God. It's an amazing thing to see.
Amen.
We got ready for pastor school, pastor's conference in the last week of February. We shut the gym down. It took us 8 days to build the convention center. And I watched people painting and putting things up and putting electric in and getting everything set. And it was and you walked in there. Our visitors just were blown away. It was the most professional thing I'd ever seen. And they're that way every year. And then they tear it down. They do it again next year. And they're building and their saws going and there's table saws and men are taking off work and working. That's what you see at Marion Avenue. That Christmas play you folks do brings in thousands and thousands of people. I don't know if you do that cornucopia thing anymore, but that was so beautiful. All the work that you do with that, all that God's doing in that great church. But you have to serve God with a servant's heart. I get to do this. That's why I love working with my staff. It's not that they're looking for praise. They serve God. Look at what the Bible says in chapter number 13, please. Go to 13. We can have a discouraged heart, our prideful heart, our serving heart. Look at chapter 11. Did I say chapter 11? 11:16. How about a deceived heart? Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. I spoke to our young people on that subject this morning, a deceived heart. You know, I've been here, Ms. Treber and I, for 50 years. And in 50 years, I've baptized, and I know there's churches that have done a lot more than we have. I know that. I mean, Kevin Wynn baptizes what's taken me 50 years. He'll baptize that in a year time. But we baptized 20,000 people in 50 years. Think of that. They're all members of our church. But you know, and I know they're scattered everywhere. They're just scattered everywhere, all over the nation. I see them. I told this one of the chapels this morning. I went to Dallas. I saw, they're all not part of the same church, but the Dallas area had 13 of our families show up and waited in line just to shake my hand and talk to me. The next week I was in Florida. I was 13 families. The next week in Florida had 13 families come and wait for me at the close of the service after I got done talking to people. The next week I was in Chicagoland area, had 13 every week of our former members. They're everywhere I go, I see former members. And they're serving God. But they're not all serving God. I could take you to so many that have died premature deaths in their teens and in their 20s and 30s. They got away from God. God judged them and God spanked them and God got their heart. I've got a preacher's son. He may be watching right now. His son has been 25 days today in intensive care, clinging for his life, trying to live. 27-year-old boy. Got away from God. Preacher's son, great preacher. His three sisters are all adults. They're all serving God with their lives. This boy got away. He woke up for a little while and said to his dad, God, Dad, when I was a little boy, you and Mama would spank me. He said, God's spanking me. His lungs are not working. His kidneys are not working. His body is just clinging on to life, on life supports. 25 days now. You know, if we're not careful, we let our lives get deceived by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Deceived. I think of that great, great Spanish ministry. Brother Gutierrez, you have done such an amazing job. But through the years, for 50 years, I've watched the Spanish ministry come and go. I've watched people get away from God. We've got a good crowd now. You've been with us for years. And we've got new folks coming in. Stay with God. Americans, stay with God. Stay with God. Teenagers, stay with God. Don't let your heart deceive yourself. Turn with me, if you will, to chapter number 20, verse number 8. We're getting close. There's only 34 chapters, and I've cut out already some. But chapter 20, verse number 8. And the officers shall speak further to the people. They shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him return unto his house, lest we see his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Three times in that verse you see the heart, faint-hearted. I cannot get faint-hearted. Mark, you're depending on your pastor. You are. Randy, you're depending on your pastor. Brother Sal's, you're dependent. Brother Ito, you're dependent. You're dependent. I cannot get faint-hearted. I refuse to be faint-hearted. I refuse to let. I'm too close to my heavenly home. I don't want to ever live a faint-hearted day, a blue day, a sad day, a discouraged day. Whatever happens in my life is by God's divine appointment. And I'm not going to bother God with my little puny prayer request. God, you got to remove this. God doesn't have to remove anything. If whatever God wants in my life, he has the right to do it. Thy will be done. I'm not going to pastor you with a faint heart. I was praying today for that building. That we cannot. It's what does it have? 6 parking stalls over there. The man bought it 25 years ago on February the 11th, our daughter's wedding day. 25 years ago, 26 this next February. Just was 25. He bought it for $1 million. I asked him years ago, I said, I want to buy it from you. He goes, well, I'd start at $5 million is what I'm asking for it, and we'll go up from there. Brother Martinez has made a call this week for me. That down the street is that parking lot. It's just a parking lot. Weeds are growing. It's just a parking lot. And the realtor, we were in Tennessee, and he talked to. I heard him on the phone, and the realtor said, "Well, we'll rent it to you for $30,000 a month for a 3-year lease. It's $365." Hi, Mrs. Raisley. Glad to see you and your daughter here tonight. $360,000 times 3, that's $1 million for parking cars. You know what? If God wants us to have that lot, I don't care what price, we're going to get it. Every building we have, we were not supposed to build. And the city said, you can't build that 3,000-seat auditorium. And here it is. Amen. You can't build that women's dorm. And there it is. You can't build that men's dorm. You cannot build that commons building. There it is. You cannot build over on Clyde. I remember the neighbors standing up against us. And they said, we like them. They're a good church, but we don't want any more. We can't find parking anywhere. We had 38 parking stalls for 31 years, and if you're a member, you could not park on the property. You had to park off at the schools or whatever and take the shuttles in. And I recall he stood up and he said, I want to speak against the church. I love the church. The mayor said, we're going to table this for 2 weeks. I see, here's his words, a hotly contested issue. And I knew what took place in 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, the mayor said, is there someone from the community? He made it so good. Someone from the community that's not part of the church that would like to speak in defense of the church building. He set it up that we had to lose. And here comes Mr. Shanahan. Mr. Shanahan, the mayor said, Mr. Shanahan, I've heard from you in the past. I'm asking, and he kept walking. Brother Sly, you remember? I believe you do. And he's kept walking. He goes, "My name is James Shanahan. I live, Brother Mintagi, what's your address? Because you're living in his house now. You own it. What's your address?" 3017, what? Clyde Avenue. And he said, "I don't know why I'm doing this. I have no idea why I'm doing this. I told you to not let them build, but I'm standing here 2 weeks later telling you, they want to build, let them build." The mayor said these words, "I've never seen this on any issue ever. They voted 7-0 to let us build. No building, Brother Carl, no building has ever been built without an obstacle where you can't do it. But they're all here and they're all paid for. God's going to give us that corner building. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but he's going to give it to us. I don't want to have a faint heart." We're about done. Let's go to chapter 28. We're getting close to the end. Oh, I'm supposed to be done right now. 28 verse 47. "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, gladness of heart, the abundance of all things." You see, tonight we can have a discouraged heart, a prideful heart, a serving heart, a deceitful heart, a faint heart. But if you're going to serve God, do it with a glad heart. My dad was that type of man. He sat right here 33 years. My dad was always so happy about everything. I remember my dad when I announced the night, two deacons, Brother Usen, one of our deacons, got cancer, and he died 8 days later, and my dad got cancer. My dad, we used to have a Wednesday night choir sing, the old building. My dad's up in the front row, and you're supposed to stand up there very dignified, and my dad's singing, we were singing this song, "Why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus is my," but he sang it like this, "Why should I care if the sun doesn't shine? Jesus is mine." And I thought, my goodness, Dad, you're not supposed to be doing that, but that's the way to sing it. That's the way your dad, Penny Ed, would sing. Remember, "I Fly Away"? Here he is, a big, big, bigger man than I, tall man, handsome man, white hair, beautiful, beautiful. I wish you'd have left me that before he passed away. Beautiful, beautiful white hair. And he'd sing, "I'll fly away, oh glory," up in the choir doing this. The first time I saw it, I said, "I gotta talk to that man. He can't do that. You can't do this, I'll fly away, oh glory." But you know what? That was his signature. That was his heart. I let him do it the rest of the time because that was just part of it. You know, if you're going to serve God, do it with a joyful, happy heart. I'm going to skip one. Let me go to one last one, chapter 30, verse 17. 30, 17. "But if thine heart turn away, so thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship another God and serve him, I denounce you this day." Don't have a turned heart. Don't let the devil turn your heart against the church, against the Bible, against God. You're going to be faced with that obstacle to turn your heart. My Father, I thank you for the heart tonight. I thank you that I pastor people that have a good heart, serving heart, all these good hearts we talked about. I pray that God, you'd work in the invitation. Let's stand together, shall we? The pianist plays. Would you come forward?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.